Hello, it's Chris.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Chris vs. the People. I am excited for today's episode because it kind of goes all over the place. We're talking to callers about peeping Toms. We've got a daughter's crazy story that involves her mom and drugs. We have a family feud that definitely gives the state of West Virginia no tea or shade to the state of West Virginia. And then we're going to top last week's episode about threesomes, and we are talking about a foursome that involves a knife. So if that doesn't have you hooked in for today's episode, I don't know what will. Now, I do want to say before I get into the episode that my dog Booger just started shitting blood before this episode. So if my head doesn't really seem like I'm in it today, there's just a lot of things happening that have me sort of stressed out. If you're watching the video episodes up on our YouTube channel, if you see me looking down a lot, it's me looking at my phone. My boyfriend, who is so wonderfully amazing, is watching Booger right now upstairs. And oh my god, I just got a text that I didn't want to see. But yeah, all of this to say, if I seem a little spacey or out of it, it's not a typical episode, just kind of freshly dealing with some shit literally and emotionally. So alrighty, now before we get to the calls, I want to remind y'all to subscribe to Chris vs. the People if you haven't. Like I said, we have a YouTube channel, Chris vs. the People. Our video episodes are quite fun, if I do say so myself. And then as always, we are going to be doing the Chris vs. the People after show over on patreon.com/chrisclemens. So get excited for that. We're talking to a listener about a mistress and her father. So let me tell you, I am just stoked. If you like today's episode or any episode before, be sure to rate this podcast 5 stars and leave a nice little review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It helps us out immensely. And I am officially done talking because we are getting to our very first call.
Hello.
Hi, CJ. Welcome to Chris vs. the People. We got to talk about your ex catching a peeping Tom peeping on you.
Yes, we do.
So how long ago was this?
This was in like 2014, 2015.
Okay.
I was in college. I was about 21 and I lived with a boyfriend at the time, and it was just us two. And I was going to school, and so I was up late. It was probably like 1 to 3 a.m. And I was just sitting in bed doing homework, and I was obviously like in comfortable clothes, so they were like a little revealing.
No, yeah, I didn't think you were in like a Chanel tweed suit in bed at 3 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm just doing some like calculus, some stupid shit, and being comfortable. And all of a sudden, my boyfriend opens the door, and he's just like, there's a guy watching you. And I'm just like, huh, like awkward laugh. I'm like, I don't know. What do you mean? Like, weird joke, dude. I don't know what to think. And so I was like, what? And so he was like, I found a guy looking at you on the patio.
Wait, so you're in your room. Your boyfriend is out on the patio.
Yeah, he comes into the bedroom, so I don't know he's on the patio at all. At this point, I think he's in the living room playing games.
The peeping Tom isn't on the patio. It's your boyfriend on the patio, correct?
No, the peeping Tom.
Wait, the peeping Tom is on your property?
Well, I live in an apartment. I'm in college.
No, I understand that, but that's still like, that's, I was thinking like, oh, this is someone with binoculars, like maybe a building away. This person's like in your backyard.
Yeah, it gets way scarier.
Oh, good. I was hoping. Oh my God. So there's like a person within like 20 feet of your home.
Yeah. Probably like 24 inches away from me, which is really creepy, like through the wall.
To quote the cinematic masterpiece, Pitch Perfect, Akka, excuse me?
Yeah. So I'm doing homework. You know, he walks in. I think he's playing video games. So he's just like, some guy is watching you. And I'm like, what do you mean? And so he's like, yeah, on the patio, I found some guy watching you. And I'm like, what? So I like, I jump out of bed, I go in the living room, I open the patio, I just go right on out there. And I'm just like, what do you mean? And so we go out there, and it's like a fall, like Michigan, like the air's dense. And you could still smell like cigarette smoke, like he was smoking. like right on our patio.
I have just the worst kind of chill going through my body right now. Like the worst.
Yeah, actually, like, you know, I tell this story sometimes and just like don't really go into depth. But thinking about it to tell you, I was like, holy shit, this was traumatic.
Yeah. I love that you're like just coming to that. I'm like, you've barely started the story. And I'm like, there's a man standing on your patio. That's trauma.
Yeah. So I go out there and there's no guy, but it smells like cigarette smoke. And so like we go inside and I'm like, tell me what happened. And so apparently he was going to take out the trash. And so he opens up the slider and he steps out and he's face to face, like a few feet away from this guy in all black, has his hood up, smoking a cigarette. They just made eye contact. So I'm like, what did he do? And he's like, I just walked backwards in and shut the door and locked it and come and got you. And I'm like, what?
Okay, well, period. That is why this man is your ex.
Yes. I was like, you didn't even watch to see like where he went.
You didn't think of going to attack or at least be like, hey, what are you up to?
Yeah.
Oh my God. The survival skills of a dead goldfish. I swear to God.
Yeah. That really sums it up really well.
Okay. So he steps back inside and gets you and then the man just vanished?
Yeah. But it gets crazier. So I lived in an apartment building that was kind of like style or castle-like in that it had like the cylinder like towers and our bedroom was like in the circle part, like it was circular.
Okay, so you're like sort of giving like Rapunzel realness a little.
Exactly, yeah.
Love it.
And so there was like the outside was all windows like curved around. My blinds were all closed, always are. So, like, they weren't open. We also have giant-ass hedges up against the building all the way around this, like, circular outer part where our bedroom windows are. This man squeezed himself in between the hedges, these pokey-ass hedges, and this brick wall, smushed his face up against the window and peeked his little grubby eyeballs through the crack of where like your blinds and your window.
Yeah, moved. Yeah, yeah.
And he had a perfect view of where I was sitting, I thought safely and privately doing my homework.
Oh?
Was watching me.
Oh, I mean, like, do you have any idea how long this went on for?
No, and that's the crazy part. I'm like, how long was he there? How long has he known he can see me like this through my windows? And I've had my bedroom in different, like, I had my bed in different variations. And I'm like, how long has he done this? Is this a neighbor? Is this his routine? Like, he's just chilling out there. He knows exactly how to smush his face up against the window. Like, ew.
Did anything else ever happen? Or it just sort of ended there as an unsolved, I guess not murder, but, you know, unsolved mystery?
Yeah, we pretty much just had to, like, call the police, make a report. They just, like, came out. I just, like, reported it pretty much. But the guy had a print of the side of his face on the window.
Well, okay, that's what I was going to say is, like, so can we pick up any DNA? Can we, like, do a little sketch of the person? Like,
they weren't going to go that far.
No, I mean, I know that. Duh. But, like, I was definitely thinking, like, okay, this dude isn't clearly that smart because he just left a ton of shit for people to find. You don't still live there, correct? I mean, that would be crazy 10 years later.
No.
But okay, good.
But we did break up, of course, me and that boyfriend. Not, you know, just because of that, but that was the icing on the cake.
Was that event sort of like the straw that broke the camel's back?
Yeah, for sure. I'm just like, really? Okay, well, you're really useless at this point. Like, he didn't have a job. I was in college, had a job, paid for everything. He was just like on Xbox every day during a Mountain Dew. And I'm like, wow, was my brain not developed at 21?
Ugh. I mean, like, listen, it's not your fault. Like, we all have to go through that. God, it sucks to watch some guy live your dreams. All I want to do is sit on Xbox and drink Mountain Dew.
Right? Me too.
Are you kidding me? I could be playing Fortnite and becoming radioactive. That is the dream.
Yeah. And then I lived there by myself for a little bit.
In that apartment?
Yeah. Yep.
CJ.
My dog.
Come on.
I know.
Did the dog ever bark or anything?
Yeah, but also only if it was like a parent, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It seemed pretty sneaky. And then my dog was just like chilling in the bed with me when I was doing homework, zonked out.
I mean, I'm glad that we have like a decade between now and when this happened, because I'm like, okay, I feel a little less clenched. But like the fact that that guy's probably just out there somewhere, probably still doing this, is horrifying.
I've never felt more violated.
No, I mean,
it was insane.
I couldn't feel you more on that. Like, that is such an invasion of privacy, especially when your blinds are closed and it's like you have to go to the lengths of smushing your face against a window to see. Like, that. Oh, I'm so sorry that happened to you. That is awful.
Thank you for saying that.
But I will say, Silver Linings Playbook featuring Jennifer Lawrence, you got rid of dead weight. So,
yes, long gone.
If we're trying to find a positive here, I mean, it would be more fun if you could have just found something on his phone. But at least you've moved on.
Yeah, those are other ones, you know. I've had those stories. Those are for other guys.
Wow, but your dating history sounds like the loser's starting bench.
Oh, nightmare fuel. Yes.
Wow, CJ, I am wishing you nothing but positivity and light.
Thank you. Oh, I'm amazing now. I'm like, love myself. I'm at my highest self. I have the love of my life. So like, I'm doing good now.
Would your love of your life now kick the shit out of that guy if he saw him?
Definitely wouldn't just let him go. That's for sure. Yeah.
Okay. And that's on growth. Wow. Thank you for sharing that traumatic ass story with us today.
Yes. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful rest of your night.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow. Had I known the story was going to be that grim, I would have saved that for like a Halloween episode kind of thing, not halfway into November kind of thing. I mean, that would have done great with the other story about the caller whose aunt's house had to get exercised. I feel like that story and this really could go hand in hand. All right, we're going to turn the ship around, I hope at least, because this next call seems a little more on the funny side.
Hello.
Hey, Blue. Welcome to Chris vs. the People. What's going on with this wild story involving your mom?
I'll just get into it.
I love every time I ask a prompt, people start giggling. That's how I know that, like, I wish this podcast chair had a seatbelt on it.
Yeah, real.
So where does this story start? How long ago was this?
I feel like it was a couple years ago. And I was hanging out, as one does. I got kind of an earache in my ear. And so I asked my mom, like, where's the ibuprofen? She texts me back and she's like, oh, I put it in the bathroom for you. Like, she just set it out for me.
Okay.
I was like, okay, cool. And then, so then I go up and I take it and I take four.
Four ibuprofen? What are you, a 9 foot tall, 400 pound man?
Normal? Isn't 4 ibuprofen normal?
Oh my god, I take 2 and I think I'm gonna be tripping off the profen. You take 4?
I think 4 is normal.
I mean, okay.
Normal.
Chris vs. the People listeners, if this is normal, please let me know. But oh my god, I'm sitting out here taking 2 and shaking in my boots.
No, I think 4 is normal.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, so you take 4 ibuprofen, which is a very normal thing for you, apparently.
I have a lot of pains. I don't know. So then I go to my room and I'm playing my game on my iPad.
What are you playing?
I was playing Genshin at the time.
You're playing what? Genshin?
Genshin Impact. Genshin Impact. Have you ever...
What is that, like a shooting game, a fantasy game? Like what?
It's like a gacha game. Like you win characters and stuff.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't play it. It's...
No, I'm not. Don't worry. I am very happy with Roller Coaster Tycoon Classic on my iPhone.
No, real.
Yeah.
The best game.
Okay, so you're playing Room Raiders of Doomtrodden or whatever the fuck.
Yes.
With 4 ibuprofen coursing through your little body.
Yeah, and everything starts to look crazy. Like, I'm like... Like, the screen is getting blurry. I'm like, wait a minute.
Is it just your eyesight that's feeling a little off? Or, like, did you also feel, like, body stuff, too? Like,
oh, yeah, I started to feel body stuff. But I think I first recognized my eyes, like, were like, oh. So then I go to the bathroom, and I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? Like, because I've dabbled in a little recreational use of
substances. Yeah, totally. I see you loud and clear.
Yeah. So I know a little bit, you know, of what taking drugs feels like. So I went to the bathroom and I looked at my pupils. They're tinier than my pupils have ever been. And I was like, oh no, something is wrong.
It's because you took 4 fucking ibuprofen.
Yeah, it was the 4 ibuprofen.
It finally caught up to you. See, I told you. Okay, so your pupils are microscopic. And that, I mean, and then what?
So then I'm like texting my sisters in this group chat because for some reason I didn't want to wake my mom up yet. And then I'm like, well, I just took ibuprofen, so maybe it's that. So I go and I look at the ibuprofen, and it's white. It's white, and there's no letters on it. And my sister texts me, and she's like, I don't know if she was trying to comfort me or what, if she had, like, a secret, I don't know, vendetta against me, because she was like, well, I think I've taken 4 white pills, four white ibuprofen before. So, and I was like, girl, no, you haven't.
You're like, okay, if you did, do you remember drooling and being permanently cross-eyed?
No, literally, like, what the heck? So then I start to remember my mom telling me a story of a few years earlier. She went to a trip with all her nurse friends to Mexico. And she decided to smuggle in some things that we could potentially use, apparently. And
are you, what the, time the fuck out, okay? You're now dropping the fact that your mom is a nurse?
Yeah.
And now you're bringing up the fact that she went to Mexico and brought back that ibuprofen?
Well, no, it was tramadol.
Babe, I don't speak Latin anymore. What is that?
So tramadol is a, like, pain medication. In Mexico, you can get any drug without, like, a prescription. So they got, like, a couple different things, her and her friends, and... and some of it was good. Like, some of it was for a good cause. Like, they got abortion stuff, and they...
Okay, yeah, no, I'm sure your mom is a nice lady, okay? Yeah. I'm sure she helps her community. Let's focus on the fucking roofing at hand, okay? So your mom brings back Trampazon? What was it?
Tramadol.
What does that make? What's that for?
Pain. It's like an opioid.
Oh my God, so your mom told you to take 4... opium pills?
Yeah. Well, opioids. So it was the dose that you're supposed to take is 50, and I took 8 times that. So I took 400.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. When we started the phone call, you definitely felt a little slow, and I'm starting to understand why.
No. crazy.
No, I mean, I'm sure you were just like shy, but
fine.
You, I was like, oh, maybe she smoked a joint before this. Nope, you just have brain damage from your mom roofying you.
Yeah, probably.
Wow.
Maybe both.
So, okay, you find out that you've taken opioids just casually.
Yeah, casually. So then I go wake up my mom because she's a nurse. I go in her room and I'm like, hey.
You're like, hey, mom, wake up. I'm tripping balls right now.
No, I was just like, hey, you remember that stuff that you brought over, you smuggled in from Mexico? I think I took that. At the time, I didn't know what it was. Like, I just knew that I remembered that she had taken something in an ibuprofen bottle, but I didn't know what. So I'm like, hey, like freaking out. And then she's like, oh. And then she's like, oh, yeah, you took 4 or 8 times the recommended dose. So I was like, oh, great.
You're like, oh, okay, that's all. Great. Okay, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to catch a ride to work with you, and it's going to suddenly be take your daughter to work day.
No, honestly, we almost got that. But no, she was like, okay, and then, like, she was like, you're probably fine, though. But then, like, she was like, you should probably sleep in my bed tonight, just in case.
Is she, like, one of those moms that, like, tries to keep her cool when there's, like, a life-threatening situation? And she's like, just relax and we'll handle this. Okay, that's the vibe I'm getting. Your mom's like, oh, you took 8 times the amount you're supposed to, but I'm sure you'll be fine. In fact, you want to cozy up next to me? Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, so the next morning, she's like, she's like, are you feeling better? And at first I was like, yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better. And then she's like, okay, do you want to go get breakfast? And I was like, yes, I want to get breakfast. Like, breakfast is great.
You're like, yeah, I want to get breakfast. And you're paying, bitch.
Yeah, of course. So then we go and get breakfast, but I start to feel crazy in the car. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna throw up. I apparently threw up all over town. I threw up at the museum. I threw up at the grocery store parking lot. I threw up at the skate park. At one point, I had my head out the car, and when, you know, those people that get up really early in the morning and they always just want to run. They're just like, yeah, this is the best time for me to get up and run.
No, I've never known that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know those people. I'm not that person. But I was had my head out of the car puking, and...
You hit a runner?
No.
Oh, I thought that's where the story was going, and I was like, girl.
No.
Oh, my God. They already hate themselves for waking up so early to run. Now that you did that on top of it?
Yeah, no. That would have made the story crazier, though. But I had my head out of the car, and I was puking. And this lady running by was just like, good morning. And I was like...
You're like, good morning.
Yeah, I felt like it was obvious I was puking. But yeah.
So what do you...
Wait,
not to like back up too far, but you said that apparently you had thrown up all over town. Were you blacked out during this part? Did like... They have a second wind?
No, I like sort of remember it, but it's also like a little bit fuzzy, I think.
You're like, Chris, remember, brain damage. It's permanent.
Yeah, it's real. It's real. It's a crisis out here, guys.
So did your mom say anything, or it was just like pretty chill the whole time and then you rode the wave and you were fine?
Yeah, I was fine after, and we're cool. It wasn't intentional.
That was not convincing.
I know.
But we're cool, I guess. It wasn't intentional. Have you taken drugs from your mom since?
No.
Okay. And that's growth.
I can't say I have.
And that's learning, okay? That's the important thing.
Yeah.
You get knocked down or out, and then you get back up.
You learn from your mistakes, yeah.
But, like, this wasn't your mistake in your defense, especially if the fucking white label pills are in an ibuprofen bottle.
Yeah, yeah. And they had no writing on them. I don't know why I didn't even think to, like, look, you know? Like,
may I ask a question that I don't know if you'll have an answer for, but I need to say it.
Yeah.
Could your mom not have just gotten the Tramadol at her job?
You have to have a prescription for it. I don't really know why.
Because if you take four, you're fucking over. That's why.
Yeah.
It's an opioid. What do you mean you don't know why?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Oh, my God. I'm doctor now, okay? And I'm ordering that you lay down and get some rest.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I'd be able to trust my mom ever again. Like, and I know it wasn't, like, her intent to drug you, but, like, your mom roofied you.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And then she was like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, I think I was also just thinking the whole time of, like, oh my God, this is gonna be such a good story.
No, I mean, like, let's not ignore the dysfunction of it all. What an incredible two truths and a lie you have. I mean... What an incredible Netflix documentary. What an incredible title I have for this episode.
Right.
I mean, no, this is like, this story is like the motherfucking Giving Tree right now, because it's giving.
I know. I was so excited as it was happening to me. I was just like thinking in my head. I was like,
you're like, I can't wait to call into a D-minus podcast and giggle about this one.
I mean, yeah.
Well, no, girl, that's when you say not D minus, that's 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. The fuck?
Yeah. Go watch it.
Yeah.
Everyone like and subscribe.
All right, Blue, that's enough of you. Tell your mommy Beyonce to keep the pills away.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. I hope you see tomorrow.
Me too.
This feels like a conversation between both of our last brain cells.
Exactly. Have a good night, Chris.
Oh my God. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Bye. Y'all, what the fuck? Has this happened to other people? I'm like trying to think. Well, my mom wasn't like a crazy, like my mom, if she doesn't need to take pills, she doesn't. Even when... she like gets like a surgery or something, she like doesn't fuck with the painkillers, which is crazy. So like this just would never have been in the realm of possibilities for me. But like, has this happened to other people? I guess I've seen like TikToks of people being like, oh, my coworker told me to go in her purse and get like, you know, the ibuprofen, and it was like Molly. But damn, I would have to move out, like, immediately. Now, our next call is similar in that it's a crazy family story. However, it's different in about almost every other way. So, here we go.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Rachel. So, what's your crazy family feud that you wrote in about?
Okay, so I wrote into a family feud about... I guess the prompt was, what was the crazy family feud? And I said that it was my dad, my father, marrying my mom's sister after my brother and I were born by my mom.
Okay.
Yeah. So
you say that and you're like, I'm going to let that settle in with you and let that marinate.
It's been marinating for a long time with a lot of therapists. So, like, any questions you have, you're good.
No, I'm glad you said therapist, plural, because, I mean, this is not a one-person job. Holy shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess you... How did this come to be?
So the TLDR is that, obviously, my parents didn't get along, and they split up around the time that... my brother and I, so I had a younger brother 2 years younger than me. So I guess at this time, maybe we were like 3-1 or 4-2 or something ridiculous like this.
Okay.
So, you know, my mom leaves my dad and she does the right thing. She stays close by. And keep in mind, like, I don't know if I'm the oldest listener of all time, but I'm 42.
Okay, period. I love that.
Thank you. So this set the stage. This is like 1985 when it's much easier for like a single mom to be upwardly mobile.
Okay.
It was just a thing you could do.
Got it.
And so my mom was like doing like the medical school, nursing school, and, you know, she was doing the right thing and whatever. But about like a year goes by and she's having trouble with like classes. And now me and my brother are like of daycare age and things like this. And so she's like needing help, but like the bills, you know, this and that. And so she calls her sister, who's my auntie, who's like 17 years older than my mom. Like they're from like two marriages or whatever, some stupid.
Okay, so they're like half sisters.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Have scissors. Oh, this is so funny you're tracking because you don't normally do family trees.
No, I know. The fact that I'm pointing out the family trees is shocking, actually.
I didn't want to start, like, naming family members.
No, suddenly it was, like, in, like, third grade when 2 + 2 finally clicked that it was 4 and I could say it that quickly. Like, that's exactly how I felt with you saying that. Okay, so your mom's half-sister is 17 years older than her. She's struggling to keep up the bills amongst medical school and daycare and all that, so she calls her half-sister.
Yeah, who is also sort of floating around and doing whatever, and... So my mom was like, hey, do you want to do like a live-in nanny thing? I can't really pay you, but you'll have a spot and your bills will be paid and, you know, whatever. And so my auntie was like, bet. And so then like with no intention other than just to be with her niece and nephew, like literally it wasn't nefarious at all. But I don't know why they always do this, but guys always start to fucking come back around, right? And they start sneaking around, and here comes my dad, and he's after my mom. And my mom is not having none of it.
Why is he after her?
Why are they always after God,
us? Oh, he's like just wanting her back, essentially.
Yes, so she has us.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like he was after her in a way of like legally or like custody, you know?
No, like wants her back, like being super like, think about the Grinch when he's like on his tummy, like kind of doing that mean like gross thing. And so like he wants my mom back so he can have his kids and whatever. And like my mom's like, nah, dude, like I'm upwardly mobile, I'm going to medical school or, you know, nursing school or whatever, and all this stuff. And so he's just kind of chilling at the house, and of course one thing leads to another with my mom's sister. I mean, TLDR, there's no way to, oh, they said this and did that and it's yeah.
But does your mom's sister have no backbone?
My mom's sister was like, do you care? And my mom was like, well, you know, I mean, get the fuck, like, whatever. Like, I think she was just sort of blown. Like,
I mean... Yeah.
History says to this day that there was never really a clear answer. Like, it was like, how could you? Like, what? Like, huh? Right? So, yeah.
So she asked your mom about it softly. Your mom was like, bruh, with a period. And then her sister was like, okay, that sounded approving. And then just married him?
Yep.
How quickly after that did they get married?
So I was still pretty young at this time. When they got married, I was 6. So all of this transpired between the times I was like 3 or 4 years old till when I was like 6 years old.
Oh my God, a lot happens quickly in your family. So your dad is also now your uncle?
I was thinking more about how my aunt was like my stepmom. Because...
Wait, not you having two moms and they're sisters?
Well, okay, no, hold on. Hold on, though. That would be great if I had two moms, except the one who was my real mom, the one who gave birth to me, that, you know, that her ex went and fucked her sister and then married her instead. That mom, my real mom, went completely off the deep end with, like, meth. my mom, my mother. Like, she got better, thank God.
Okay, thank God. Okay.
But for years, she was completely gone, and everyone completely blames this shit.
I mean, I was gonna say, I can't even fucking blame her.
She lost her mind. Yeah, she kind of lost it.
I don't know what you do in that situation when a family member, and it's like not even like her ex-boyfriend or something. It's like you two have kids together.
Yeah, so I ended up in their custody because my mom couldn't get her shit together. And so
Shut.
Do you think that really makes her want to get her shit together much more when now when I'm over there living with her ex and her sister? My poor mother, God rest her soul. She's passed now, but like not of anything. She was okay. She got better. But
okay, wow. What a fucking roller coaster this is. I'm sorry that you've lost your mom.
She's okay. She was okay. She was all right. She made like her peace. Like she made like her.
Oh my God. Are you? How are you?
I'm okay. I'm okay.
I guess you were really young when this happened. Do you remember any of this like vividly, or did you have to like be told it?
Yeah, I remember my dad marrying my aunt. I remember that wedding day for sure. Yeah.
No, that's a pretty hard one to forget.
No, I was the flower girl and shit. They did it, bro. Like, they went out.
No.
They weren't like, oh, let's just... It wasn't like, that's what blew... I think that's what blew my mom. And in retrospect, obviously, like, as a female, like, as a grown-ass female, it blows the fuck out of me. Like... How did you have like a little wedding where you had me throwing petals and shit? Like, why didn't you just go to court and be like, oh, we're in love. Ha ha ha. Oh, weird coincidence. That's neat. Let's just do all this super neat. It's like, nah, for some reason, they were all about like throwing it in my mom's face. It was weird.
Okay, two things. One, I was going to joke, like, oh, were you the flower girl? And then you literally were like, I was the flower girl. And I was like, oh.
Thank you.
Oop.
Underneath reality. Like, thank you.
No, that got the big oop award. And then second of all, do you think this was your dad's plan to, like, basically
no.
get back? Oh, you don't. Okay.
No, my dad is a complete fucking dunce.
Oh. Chris versus the people, brought to you by Shitting on Dads. So, like, you current day are fine now.
I am fine now.
Okay. That.
Promise.
I believe you for the record. But
I promise.
I mean, like, oh my God. I don't even know what to say. Like, that to me felt like a Mad Lib.
That's funny.
No, I mean, like, it's, like, not. It's, like, literally the most unthinkable story I could imagine. Wow, the fact that you're, like, able to be self-sufficient and, like, standing on your own feet, like, good on you. Holy shit.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Thank you for sharing this, like, little slice of your life with us. That is really, it's just crazy.
Actually, before we go, I just want to say something. I know I made a joke about being like the oldest listener or the oldest contributor or something. And I just want to say that like my daughters know who you are, like, because they've heard me mention it. Like, they don't watch your content or anything because
okay,
they're teenagers.
Thank God.
They're,
I can unclench.
No, they're 13 and 11. They're not watching your stuff, so it's fine. But
thank God.
But I think it's neat that like someone of like my age or whatever is like, it's almost like there's a bridge between it. Like, I just feel like we have these mutual goals of like love and respect and just sharing these fun stories and supporting each other. And I really want to thank you for providing that. I don't even think it's like age centric or anything. I just think like it's just we're all here to have a good time and I had fun. So thank you.
Oh my God. I just want to tell you that is like one of the most I'm like failing at finding the right word. That is like one of the most meaningful things I could have been told because I've had this idea for this show for so long and to have people get it the way that I have seen it this whole time feels so like I feel so purposeful in a way. And that is the point of this show is like just I've interviewed people for over a decade, and I mean, what is so cool about being able to do that is making people comfortable enough to like get a window into their life and realize while it's so different, we really all experience such similar things. Like, my dad never married my mom's sister, but it's like we have just as dysfunctional of a family situation where I understand what it's like in those situations, you know? I say it often, it's a wonderful lesson in perspective. And it's just, I don't know, I want everyone to feel like better about the shit that they might be going through or the thoughts they might be having. Cause like, I remember growing up all the time and being like, ooh, I can't say this out loud. No one else would be thinking this. And then I go on Tumblr and it has like 400,000 notes and everyone's like, me too. And I'm like, what? We all are doing this?
Girl, no, I want to go and post like a Reddit story every 49 and a half seconds. And I'm like, you're going to be on Reddit too much. No.
No, it's just, it's really cool to one, have people trust me with stories. And then two, just to hear that, hey, maybe my life isn't as like isolating and unrelatable as I think it is, you know? It's like when in high school, when you'd be like, you didn't study for the test too, right? Oh, okay, good. Like, I feel better. There's like, there's something in numbers or something, I don't know. No, but I really do appreciate like the kind sentiment. That really means a lot. And thank you for listening and being a part of it.
I'm so glad that I finally was able to figure out. I was like, Tuesdays, now Tuesdays. I listen to you every Tuesday. So thank you for your content.
I know. Why did I pick such a random fucking day?
My podcast drops on Tuesdays too. Anyways,
oh my, look at us go.
There it is. But thank you. Thank you for being a badass bitch. Thank you for listening. You're amazing.
Thank you for sharing. I'll talk to you later, Rachel.
All right. Bye, Chris. Bye.
Bye. No, I really meant it when I said, like, I feel so lucky that people feel so comfortable to open up to me. And yeah, I just feel very lucky that I get to do this. Every time I record these episodes, like halfway through, I'm just, sometimes I'm like, holy shit. But most times halfway through, I'm just like, this is such a cool thing that I'm able to do and call my job. And the fact that people like you right now are either listening or watching or maybe doing both, who knows? That just means a lot. So thank you for being here and being the people for Chris versus the people. I mean, this show literally wouldn't be able to happen without y'all. So thank you. Wow, this is getting so mushy and sentimental, which is such poor timing because we are moving on to our final call, which might get a little dicey, mostly because it involves a knife. So,
hi.
Hey, Sarah. So I need to know why you chased a man out of your apartment with a knife after a failed foursome. I guess my first question is, how did this foursome come to be and like, who were the players?
Okay. So one of the girls, or sorry, the girl, I'd known for a couple of years and we were like friends and we started like casually hooking up. And then we decided to go out and she like, we saw these guys while we were out. She got their number and like invited them back to her place, even though I was like, you don't want to do that. Like, you don't like guys. You don't want to sleep with them.
When was this? Was this like in college or?
No, this was like a year and a half ago, maybe.
Oh, this is just like a casual weekday for you. Okay. Work. God.
Well, okay. So I am like a long-term relationship person and I was single for the first time after like 10 years. So I was like, okay, let's go a little bit crazy.
You were like, let's see what this lifestyle is about.
Yeah. And so it was like the guys came over. I was like hooking up with one of them. She was hooking up with one of them. And then the one she was hooking up with fell asleep because he was like decently drunk. So we're like, okay, like let's ignore him. And then since this girl, we had been hooking up and like she had expressed to me that she wanted to date and I was like, no, like I'm freshly single, let's not. She started screaming at the guy that I was hooking up with for us hooking up.
Like jealousy vibes?
Yeah, she was like
get out of my apartment. I can't believe you would do this to me, to like both of us.
Oh my God. She kicked you also out?
Yeah. And like, I was supposed to sleep there. It's like an hour away from my house. So I was like, okay, thanks. And like, I went home, and when I'm almost home, I keep getting like call after call. And I guess she had locked herself out of her apartment with like no pants on. And so the guy was calling and was like, I don't know what to do. Like, she left her keys inside. So I was like, okay, I guess like just bring her over to my place.
Wait, time out. Your friend kicks you out of her apartment because you're just doing what she set out for the evening to do.
Correct.
You're driving home, which is like an hour away, and you get a call from her asking for help?
From him. She was like really drunk at that point. We had been like drinking back at her place. I was like, okay, like I'm not going to deal with this. So like I went home, and but then he called and I was like, well, I'm not going to say like she needs to sleep outside. So
wait, I'm so confused. So you're driving home. She's locked out of her own apartment, but the guy is inside.
No, he was outside with her. Like, she went to leave and she followed him out.
Oh, okay. I thought he was in the apartment. And I'm like, why does he not just open the door?
No, I'm sorry. No, he was outside with her.
Oh, okay. So they're both outside and they're calling you saying we're locked out. Okay, got it. And you're like, I don't care what happens to you.
Well, I'm like, I have no way to help you. I'm already almost home. Like, I'm not turning around. And so he brings her over to my place. I get her settled. She's on my couch sleeping. Him and I start hooking up again. And then he like goes to the bathroom, comes out, and she sees him and starts screaming again. And it's like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning at this point. And so I'm like trying to calm her down. And I'm like, okay, like, sorry, guy, like, dude, you just need to leave. And he's like, no, I don't. It's okay. And so, like, I live alone. So I was like, oh, my God, this man won't leave my apartment. He's going to kill me. And so I was, like, telling him he needs to leave. And he's like, no, it's fine. Like, we can just keep hooking up. And I'm like, she's screaming, you need to leave. So he kept saying no. So I went into my kitchen and pulled a knife out of my knife block and was like, I'm telling you to leave. I'm telling you to leave. You need to leave. And he, like, kept, like, coming closer. So I, like, oh, my God. I think I, like, held it up to his chest and was, like, you have three choices. Like, either you leave on your own accord, I call the cops and you leave, or I'm going to stab you and then call the cops if, like, you don't get the fuck out of my apartment.
Would you have stabbed him?
No, I didn't stab him.
No, but would you have?
Oh, probably not.
Okay. Jesus.
I mean, he was like twice my size. I don't think it would have done much.
Oh, I don't know if, okay. I don't know if that's the justification, but I hear you. Okay. So you're holding a man at knife point and he's doubling down?
Yeah, because he's like, no, I don't need to leave. And I'm like, no, this is my apartment.
Doesn't he still have a friend who's drunk in your friend's apartment? Like, where did that guy go? Is he dead?
No, they dropped him off along the way. Mm.
Okay, why did
he was at his own place.
Okay, so does the guy eventually leave?
Yes, he left, and my friend kept freaking out on me, and she's like, I need to go home. So I ended up having to order her an Uber, which was like well over $100. And then the next day, like, everyone went home. I went, like, ended up going to sleep, whatever. And the next day, I, like, texted her, and I was like, hey, so, like, that Uber was $100. And she was like, oh, man, like, I lost my credit cards and stuff.
You're like, actually, I'm pretty sure Venmo can hook up to your bank account. Make it happen.
I did make her Venmo me.
Period.
I was like, yeah, I know. I'm so sorry. Here's my Venmo. And then the guy texted me the next day, and I had, like, horrible hangover anxiety. And he texted me, and deadass was like, hey, I had a lot of fun last night. Like, we should go on a date or something.
Oh my God. I swear to God, this is one of those moments that I find out that men can get more dumb. Oh my God.
No, yeah. You... I, like, responded and I felt bad. I don't think I was wrong in the situation. Like, I wasn't going to stab him. I was just like, you're scaring me. I need you out of my apartment.
Well, I mean, like, listen, I'm not going to tell a single female how to handle a situation where a larger man is refusing, like, exiting. Like, you do what you gotta do. I don't blame you.
Yeah.
I'm just more so, like, how, like, what wires are twisted in his brain that he was like, that was super fun. I'd love to do it again sometime. Like, what?
I literally was like, yeah, sorry, like, pointed a knife at you, and he was like, no worries.
Oh, honey, delete that text right now. That does not look good.
Oh, you're right.
Oh my god. Okay, rule number one of life, don't ever have it in writing, guys.
I didn't say I stabbed him.
Right, I know you said you didn't stab him, but if he got stabbed and there's that text, baba booey, babe.
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
Oh, right. God.
Next time, I guess.
You're like, all right, next time when I hold the knife up, I will just not confirm it via text them next morning. So you basically are like, sorry for holding a knife to you. And he's like, nah, it's chill, bruh.
Yeah, he's like, okay, let me take you on a date.
I mean, you either found your husband or you're an ex restraining order. I don't know which one, but that's for you to find out.
No, I didn't. I haven't spoken to either of them.
Your friend and the guy?
Yeah. And good. I found out the next day I asked her to hold my purse for like a minute while I went to the bathroom and she vomited in it. So
how do you know this girl?
I met her through work. We've been friends for like a couple of years.
Oh, wow. She is no friend of yours. Let me tell you that.
I know. I know. I know.
If one of my friends threw up in my bag when I told them to hold it, and then they didn't tell me, and then I found it the next motherfucking day, I would grow 4 extra arms for them to catch the hands of. I mean, fuck that.
Yeah, I found it in, like, the worst way possible.
I would have fucking Venmo'd her for that, too. I would have gone, it's this, plus trauma.
I should have.
Wow, Sarah, what a fucking crazy night that was. I feel like that really could be, like, a solid rom-com.
I don't know how much romance was involved, but yeah.
Oh, I mean, you guys were hooking up, right?
Yeah.
There's like some there, you know? It could be genre bending where, you know, it doesn't have a happy ending or anything. Well, you seem pretty happy, actually. So that's the happy ending. Self-love, baby. That's the romance.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Have that screenplay on my desk by Monday morning. But in the meantime, I will talk to you later, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you. And again, I want that screenplay on my desk Monday morning.
You got it.
Gorgeous. Bye, girl.
All right. Bye.
Okay, like, all jokes aside though, why would I watch the fuck out of that movie? I feel like so many of these stories could be movies, TV shows. Oh my god. Okay. Noted. But anyways, that was our last call, and that is the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, whether it was your first episode or you are a returning listener. I am very appreciative. And again, be sure to subscribe to Chris vs. the People if you haven't, wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@ChrisVsThePeople. If you don't mind right now giving the podcast 5 stars and reviewing it on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or leaving a comment and thumbing up the video if you're on YouTube, that would mean so, so much. And for those of you who are on my Patreon, I will see you on the Chris vs. the People after show, where we're hearing from a caller who I think has quite the story for us. So I will see you guys in a little bit, and if not, I'll see you next week. Bye.